take our Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 1, please. As you're turning, I'll pray. Heavenly Father, it's so good to be at the Mission Revival Conference tonight. Lord, excited all week to be here and be with Pastor Lance and his people to meet these missionaries. And Lord, we ask that you bless each and every ministry, mission work, family, individual. Encourage them. May they always remember they're doing the work of God for God. Lord, I help the church tonight to see what a New Testament church can do when we all get together. Help us to learn from the Bible tonight. If there be one here who knows not Christ as their Savior, may this night they be saved. Lord, continue to do a great work in all of our hearts. Lord, may we all be mission-minded every day as we walk out in the world, giving tracts, sharing the gospel, and may you help us as we go forth. We pray this now in Christ's name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Tonight, we're gonna go fast. You know, when we go fast, we kind of are awake, aren't we? So we want you to get your Bible in Acts chapter 1. I want you to see what this new church, how it grew, how it spread out, and what it accomplished. And think about what your church can do here. Because remember, missions is the strong right arm of the local church. And missions is the heart of the local church. And I want you to see that the Lord kind of had to help them along at certain spots because they kind of just sat back on their laurels a little bit. And I want you to see how the Holy Spirit moved in this church, people were saved, how the church grew, and how churches were the result of that. Well, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. In the New Testament time, when you are saved, Holy Spirit indwells you. Tonight, if you're a born-again Christian, the Holy Spirit is living inside of you. Isn't that great? Isn't that great that He leads us and guides us and empowers us? Well, and it says, ye shall be what? Softball players. Our church had a softball team. I love softball. I love church softball leagues. No, it doesn't say that. It says, ye shall be grill masters at the annual Sunday school picnic. Our church, sometimes we'd have two Sunday school picnics a year because I love to eat and fellowship. Didn't say that. It says, and ye shall be witnesses unto me where? Both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and under the othermost parts of the earth. Now, this message tonight, I told you I have to go fast. This message has 27 points. Do you want to pass out now? You got to stay awake to see if we're going to get through in time. We will. All right? But let's see here. In verse 15, and in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, and in parentheses here, the number of names together were about how many? 120. Now, I had mentioned earlier that the Fellowship Baptist Church, which is the umbrella over Fellowship Baptist printing ministry, they probably will have less than 100 this coming Sunday morning. So this New Testament church, the first one ever, is starting with 120. Well, let's see how it grows, okay? Well, let's go to chapter 2 and verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about how many people? Boy, can you imagine an invitation with 3,000 people, preacher? How do you work individually with them? 3,000, it says there, were what? What's the math symbol there? They were added. They were added to the 120. So now they have about 3,120 just within days. That's phenomenal growth. Well, let's look at the same chapter, verse 47. And these people were praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church. There we are adding again. How often were they added there? See that word? They were added not monthly, not yearly. They were added daily. Can you imagine adding members to your church daily? That'd be phenomenal. Such as should be what? Saved. We don't add people to the membership roll unless they're saved, right?
Not because they've been baptized or had this or had that or whatever. We only add people to the church who have been saved. If you're here and a member of the church and you're not saved, that's not good. You need to see us afterwards at the altar so we can take care of that. So, 120, 3,000 people are being added daily. Oh, to see that again. Well, let's go to chapter, let's see, keep everything in line here. Chapter 4, verse 4. And I'm sorry, I can only read the verse. I can't really add the context because I do have 27 points. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word did what? They believed. And the number of men was about, anybody? You can talk to me tonight, okay? It's a little bit different. 5,000 men. Men are hard to win to Christ. We are stubborn. We are pig-headed. Ladies, here's your chance to say amen. Come, oh, whoa. I'm really preaching to the choir tonight. 5,000 men humbled themselves, repented, and accepted Christ as their Savior. How many did the church start with? 120. Then they added 3,000. Then daily, such as should believe. And now, 5,000 men. The church I pastored in downtown Columbus, Billy Sunday came there in 1912, 1913. I think it was the winter of 1913. He came in January and February. What a time to hold a tabernacle revival crusade, January and February. The population of Columbus was 180,000 at that time. Do you know 18,000 were saved? 18,000. And the majority were men. You don't see that anymore, do you? Not quite like that. Well, let's turn the page here, and let's go to chapter 4 and verse 17. And the disciples were being handled by the Pharisees and other rulers, and they were upset. In verse 17, and they said, "But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in his name." You see, it was spreading everywhere, wasn't it? It was going all directions, up, down, east, west, north, south. The gospel was spreading because this church took it to heart to be witnesses. First where? Jerusalem. And it spread. It couldn't be stopped. Couldn't be stopped. You ever get a leaky basement during the rainy times? We lived in a house in Columbus, and the sewers on the streets just weren't big enough. And when you have big rains, it'd go down through the sewers. And, of course, water just pushed up into our basement. And no matter what we tried, towels, everything to plug that water, it just came up everywhere. It spread everywhere. And the gospel is spreading everywhere because I believe everybody was involved. And your church can spread the gospel throughout Bucyrus, Crawford, I believe, County, you said last night, and it can spread, but we all must be involved. Verse 32, and the multitude of them that believed were of what? I like this, one heart, one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. I want you to see, they're no longer adding daily. The number's so big, we're not calling it 3,000 or 5,000. Now they're calling it what? A multitude. How do you number that? It was more than the preacher witnessing, right? More than the deacons who were witnessing. More than the Sunday school teachers who were handing out tracts to get this many people saved. A multitude. And I tell you, when people are getting saved, new Christians are really a blessing. They want to please. They want to be involved. I had mentioned the other day that we had, on our average visitation night on our Wednesdays from 5 to 7, we had upwards 70 people. And I think one of the reasons we had that, after the people that got saved, Pastor, they said, "What do we do next?" Well, I talked them into tithing. You know, you want to pay the bills, but I said, "You come out to visitation." What's visitation? Well, they came out. They didn't know any different, and they got involved right in it. So when people get saved, they're more apt to really get involved and stay on fire. So we have a multitude there. Let's see, chapter 5, verse 14. And the believers were more added. Now, it doesn't say they were added. What's the word in front of added? More. See, we're adding words to describe, even in a bigger sense, added to the Lord's. And now it says, what's after that? Multitudes. Is that singular or plural? That's plural. So it's just not a multitude, it's multitudes, plural. Many more are being come, and I like the idea what it says there, more. Well, let's keep reading. And the believers were more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men, and who's added to the list now? Woo-hoo! The women are getting saved. Isn't that great? The women are getting saved. Not just men, but women are coming to Christ. And more often than not, it seems that women really do have a soft heart for Christ, don't they? Sometimes it's harder to get the men to be compassionate and et cetera, et cetera. But many times I find that our sisters really have a soft heart to the Lord. And we find here that men and women. Verse 16, there came also a multitude. You say, oh, look, there's no S there. It's just a multitude. Well, look what happens next. The multitude came where? Out of the cities, plural. So a multitude from each one of the cities is coming round about under Jerusalem. Isn't that where they were going to be witnesses first, according to Acts 1? First at Jerusalem, right? And then Judea. So the multitudes are coming from Judea to Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. That's my eighth point, by the way. Let's see here. Let's turn the page. Let's go to Acts 5 and verse 42. We're talking about that first church started with 120, added 3,000, added daily, added 5,000, then multitude, then multitudes, and then the men, and then the women. Everybody's being saved here. This is what should be happening at every church. Now, I'm not going to throw out that 3,000 and 5,000. I pastored it. It's hard. Folks, it is hard to grow a church. And even First Baptist there, I'm sure whatever your attendance is, it's hard to keep exceeding that and growing that. So no matter what size church it is difficult. But I want you to know it can be done. It can be. Move on here. Let's see. Chapter 6, verse 542, that is, number 9. It's my ninth point. And daily, how often again? Monthly, yearly, quarterly, biannually, once a century. And daily in the temple, and where? In every house. They cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. You know, I just wonder, spring's here, I think it's spring, temperature didn't say that today. Just think, if every day we could maybe do a block where we live, handing out gospel tracts, handing out information about your church, every single day making a commitment. You say, well, I can't do every day. How about every other day? How about every other Tuesday? I don't know. Can you get involved in some level of commitment to do what the New Testament church did here? And daily they cease not to teach and to preach Jesus in the temple, but then again, house to house. Could you do your neighborhood? You say, well, I'm not too good. I can't walk. Could you pay the kid down the road to hand out the tracts for you? I don't know about that. There is a way, I'm saying, though. There is a way to get it done for your church. Well, let's move on. Chapter 6, verse 1. And in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied. We've gone from adding to multiplying. 4 times 4. Someone was asked that. 4 times 4. He's close. If the disciples was multiplied. I like that. The number is multiplied. People, it didn't stop. Sometimes when we have a revival, what happens, a revival is great for the week that you have it or however many days, but then a week or two later, it starts to kind of rub off. It kind of starts to fade away, kind of starts to die out. Not here. This is still going strong. People are being saved. In verse 7 of chapter 6, this is point 11 of 27. And the word of God did what? Didn't decrease. Sometimes churches decrease. All right, it happens. I was with the pastor, and he said he had a three-month slump. Well, I was 30 years at the same church. You know, one time I had a three-year slump. Now, that's concerning. it would go down and down, and I'd do this and I'd do that, and I'd make more visits and whatever. I worked, but every year it went down, and then it ticked right back up. So my point is, if you're having a little slump here or there at a church, all right, find your way through it, and let's get growing again. The word of God, I'm told here, increased, and the number of disciples. See, it went from just men and women and people who believed. Now they're called disciples. They are being trained. They are learning. They are being grounded. And I think that's a key. Remember I said we had those 70 people out in visitation? We were grounding them and teaching them, this is what you should be doing. And so they are growing and following along. And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied. Where are they doing this still? Did you see that? In Jerusalem. Wait a second. They're supposed to be getting out in Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. They haven't done that yet, doesn't look like. Multiplied in Jerusalem. To what degree had they multiplied? Greatly. I believe that's an adverb. Who's the teacher here? Amy, is that an adverb? Thank you. Oh, yes. Didn't want to mess up in front of the kids there. I should have asked you privately, but if I didn't know you were a teacher, I probably would have just done it. You know what I mean? But when you know somebody's listening as a teacher, you've got to sweat it out there. Greatly, and a great company of the priest. Even the priest in the synagogues were being saved. How hard is it to get priests or preachers of denominations that teach the wrong gospel? How hard would that be to get them saved? A lot of pride. If you pastor a church and you're not teaching the gospel, it's a social gospel or it's a works gospel, try to win those men, those pastors to Christ. Well, here we see that's what's happening. A great company of the priests were what to the faith? Obedient. You obedient to the faith here at church? You really following through? Let's see here. That was 10, 11. Number 12, chapter 8. And Saul was consenting unto his death. Verse 1, if you were to back up into chapter 7, that was Stephen's death. Okay? That was Stephen's death. So Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. Now, full disclosure here, if you plan on growing, and you do grow, which you should grow, Satan is not going to be happy. He's going to do everything he can to stop this church from growing. He's going to stop those scriptures. Maybe dry up the funds. I don't know. Maybe over the Ivory Coast, he's going to fight against you and things are going to go backwards. In Laos, who knows how things are going to go? But you're not going to have free course. Now, we're to pray you should have free course. But we know that Satan is not going to be happy. So there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all what? Scattered. Uh-oh. God told them in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world, they were to go, and they were not. So the Lord's going to allow some persecution to scatter everybody abroad throughout the regions of where? Judea and Samaria. See, they weren't willing maybe to go to Judea and Samaria and obey Acts 1:8, so the Lord's going to give them a little help, going to start a fire underneath some things and get things going really hot, so they're now scattering, doing what God wants them to do. In verse 4, this is point 13, verse 4, therefore they that were scattered abroad went where? Kind of a dumb question. They went everywhere doing what? Preaching the word. All right, the Lord wanted that early church to grow and fulfill the Great Commission and to really get out to the uttermost. Well, he had to help them here, and they were scattered abroad. And once they got scattered, they still kept up the faith, didn't they? They were preaching the word of God. And that is what needs to be done in the mission field. We need to preach the word. We have all kind of ministry helps there, and I am glad for any type of ministry helps we can have on a mission field. That just makes it a more complete work. But we've got the major on preaching. Last night I said God chose what? The foolishness of preaching. That's what he chose. So they were doing just that. Well, let me move ahead here. I'm going to find point 14. There it is. Chapter 9, please. Verse 31. And again, I'm sorry to just jump in without the context. You can go back and read the whole book of Acts and get the context. How's that? Verse 31. Then had the churches. Not the church. Now we're having church is plural. One thing I really believe in is churches starting churches. Pastor, I do have a regret that I never, out of my church exactly, started another church. Now, we supported men in Ohio, in Columbus, in other states. We financially and prayerfully supported them. We would actually go and knock on doors as they got their churches started. But I never did birth a church out of my church. And I think I missed it down the road there. And one day I realized that I'm helping all these churches start, but I'm not really birthing a church out of my church. Could your church start another church? Now, don't start one in Bucyrus. Do not. I think there was a fellow named Brother Wheeler, who was the only independent Baptist church inside the city of Cleveland. And they sold their building, and I think they since have moved out the city limits of Cleveland. Do you know there's no independent Baptist church in Cleveland, Ohio? Not one. That's my hometown. I'm concerned about that. Not one independent Baptist church. Well, the early church is doing what it should. It's reproducing itself. And the church is rested throughout all, where? Judea, Galilee, and Samaria. Well, good. They got Jerusalem. They're working in Judea and Samaria. Churches are being established, and the churches had rest, and they were edified. Now, folks, you've got to be involved in your local church because the Lord has endowed each one of us with a gift. Now, sometimes we may have a hard time finding out what that gift is, but you need to pray with your pastor about that gift and then use that gift in your local church to edify. That means to build up, to bless your local church. I don't know what your gift is, but God did not leave you giftless. You have a gift, and you ought to be using that gift for the glory, and in this case, what it says, for the edification of your local church. When I came out of Bible college, I had this idea, Brother Gill, I don't know what they do down at First Baptist. I'm sure they didn't make this mistake, but I had this idea that every Christian should do everything. They ought to be in a choir. They ought to be in a bus route. They ought to be in visitation. They ought to be in a Christian school. They ought to be in a maintenance crew. They ought to be in a nursery. Everybody should do everything. And I found out that didn't work. It's impossible. And I had to learn through the school of hard knocks. But what I did find, even though someone couldn't be in this ministry or that ministry or another ministry of the church, everybody could be in at least one ministry of their local church. Find out what that is here. Use your gift. Glorify Christ with the gift he's given you or endowed you with and help to edify your church. All right, let's see there. And they were walking in the fear of the Lord. That's always a good thing, walking in the fear, the holy, reverenced respect of the Lord. And it says they were what? Multiplied. So we haven't gone back to adding. We're still in multiplication. That was 14, 15. Let me see. Turn the page. Let's go to chapter 11, 4.15, chapter 11. Again, we're watching the progress of this local church. Acts is the great book of missions. This is where many of our mission messages come from, the book of Acts. Paul and Barnabas and Silas and Timothy, all were missionaries on a trail, preaching the gospel, winning people to Christ, establishing churches. In verse 19 of chapter 11, now they which were scattered abroad, remember they were supposed to finally, what was the last place they were going to go to? The uttermost part. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, didn't we just read about Stephen in chapter 7 and 8 there? Traveled as far as Phoenix, Cyprus, Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. So the word of God is now going all over the world, just like the Lord's plan was. And I hope you'll make sure that you can spread the gospel all over the world as a local church and see how God will bless that. Well, it traveled very far. I'm not going to read verse 20, point 16 is in verse 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them. You may be sitting here tonight, say, Brother Lake, this sounds good. We can't do that. You're right. You can't. But with the mighty hand of God upon your church, you can do this. You may not be able to go everywhere, but you've got missionaries here this week who are going in your place, and with your prayers and support and encouragement, the gospel can spread to the othermost part of the earth here. Verse 21, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Boy, I like that. Point 17 is in verse 24, talking about Barnabas. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. In verse 26 at the end, and this church at Antioch was so great, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. That's where it falls in here. Kind of right in the middle of the book of Acts, these people were living in such a Christ-like atmosphere and living out what Christ wanted them to do that people started calling them Christians because of their outward behavior. Remember what I said about Timothy Sunday morning? He was to be an example to the believers, and we ought to be an example not only to the believers in the church, but to the outside world, so your actions would indicate to them that you indeed are Christians. Not just Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Take Saturday off? No, you can't take Saturday off. You're a Christian every day of the week. You can't switch hats and be something else. You are a Christian first and foremost. Well, that was point 17. Point 18, chapter 12, in verse 24. But the word of God grew and did what? Multiplied. Now we're using a different form of math, and that's what bearing precious seed is. Multiplying the scriptures that are sent abroad. That was point 18. Let me see, 19. Chapter 13, verse 44. This is point 19. I'm doing pretty good, right? Can you say amen to encourage me to keep moving? You say, you know, if I slow down, Lillian, you know what to do back there. I already saw that. All right, and the next Sabbath day came almost what? The whole city together to play bingo. Doesn't say that. To hear the word of God. I could not put my membership in the church where the word of God was not preached in every single service. I need preaching. I need teaching. I need exhortation in my life. And that comes, that's discerning from the word of God. So I said last night, we're not an entertainment center here. We're not trying to compete with Hollywood. We're something in a much higher level. We're a heavenly level. And that's what they were doing. The word of God was multiplied, and many came to it. It was multiplied. Chapter 14, I'm going to point 21, chapter 14, verse 1. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. Well, we just read a few chapters ago that they had only gone to the Jews. Now we see here in verse 1, going to the Greeks. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. They're fulfilling. This church has now been fulfilling everything that God had for them. And this is our pattern, how our church right here, Calvary Baptist Church of Bucyrus, this is the pattern for this church and every other church. This is how it ought to be going, in some respect, at some level. Well, I like that. That's point 21. I'm going to turn the page, find point 22. I have all my points in red, so I can't miss it. Chapter 16. We started with 120, added 3,000, added people daily, 5,000 men. Then we find other thousands of men and women. Then to the Jews, then priests of the Judaism aspect of the Hebrew people were being saved. And then churches, and then Greeks. And now in chapter 16, verse 22, and so were the churches. See, it's still plural, isn't it? And so were the churches established in the faith. And increase in number daily. Now, I don't think we should get wrapped up to the extent that numbers is the only thing we look at. Remember I told you I had that 3-year slump at our church? Numbers didn't look too good. There's other things we need to involve in there. But I do want you to know that God is interested in numbers. Now you have, I don't know, 15,000 people in Crawford County here, something like that. That's a number of people that needs to be reached. And every church has different capabilities, but we all have the same job to reach our Jerusalem. And I was at one church, I forget where it was, but they actually had a phone book. Anybody still use phone books? They had a phone book, and it was listed not by alphabetical names. It was listed by streets. And they, some of the people couldn't get out. They would pick up a street in their town, and they would go down and start calling everybody on that street where the numbers were still listed. See, there's all kind of ways we can reach our community, but never say numbers aren't important, and never say that numbers are the only thing that matters. Because I went through that at preachers' meetings, and maybe you other men did, where all they care about how many you're running, how many you have this week, how many last week. What about the other aspects of Christianity? So I just do want you to see, though, that God watches the bottom line, too. You got to kind of level that out there. Point 23 is in chapter 17, verse 4. And some of them believed. Now, folks, there's always going to be some who believe and some who believe not. And that is sad. We don't know who's going to be saved. That's why we give the gospel out to everyone. Only the Lord knows who's going to be saved. But it's our job to get the gospel. And as we're spreading seed, our front yard's looking bad at our house. My backyard looks better than my front yard. How can that be? My wife says she's going to have to plant some seed. My wife has a green thumb. She can grow a palm tree on concrete. That's how good she is. Yeah. So she's talking. I'm going, yes, I'm glad she's doing it, not me. Some believed. There are going to be some who don't. Should that discourage us and stop us? Can you be stopped by 10 doors that you knock on where everybody says no? Can you be stopped working as hard as you can as a church for months and see no apparent growth? Is that going to stop you? You can't be stopped. Isaiah said what? How long? What did the Lord say? Basically, till there's nothing left. We keep going and going strong for him. My 23rd point is down in verse 6. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren under the rulers of the city, crying, that these have turned the world upside down, or come here hither. We read earlier where the whole city came out. Wouldn't that be something if the whole city of Bucyrus came out to hear the word of God? Wouldn't that be amazing? Well, here it says that they were afraid of them because they thought that Paul and those with him had turned the world upside down with the gospel. And that's what you do when you witness to somebody and they get saved. Their life's going to be turned upside down. It's going to be a 180-degree turn, but it's going to be turned upside down for the better. Oh, that our cities would be turned upside down. And if there's anything that can turn a city upside down, it is the power of the gospel. The power of the gospel can do that. Point 24, chapter 19, verse 10. And this continued by the space of 2 years. Okay, we can't just blaze for 2 weeks and then flame out. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all that which dwelt in Asia, is that the uttermost part of the world, Macedonia, that region up there, in Asia, heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Still, Jews, Greeks, Gentiles are being saved at a very good clip. Verse 20 is my point 25. Verse 20 of chapter 19. So not just grew the word, but so mightily grew the word of God. And it did what? What did the word do? Prevailed. The gates of hell shall not stand against that church. And you know, because we're not attacking it with a water gun, as I've heard some pastors say it in a joking way. But we attack the gates of hell with the word of God. And the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The power of the word is unbelievable. That's why we witness, we need to give the word out the best we can. And it prevailed. And the word of God will prevail. You know, our founding fathers, since we're in a political time in our country right now, if you look at our framers of our Constitution and our founding fathers, and you go to Washington, D.C., which I have not been, okay, but I've been told because our Christian school went, I have so many friends who went, you see Bible verses everywhere as you go around Washington, D.C. in those buildings that are framers of our Constitution and our founding fathers. The Word of God in America has prevailed since 1776 until today. I'd say that's pretty powerful. If you stop and think what has happened with our Bible and the words of God that have prevailed. Point 26. Wow, it's verse 26. Moreover, ye see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, the entire Asian region, just about all of it, has now been reached. Well, the world to us is everywhere. Just not the known world to these people at this time, but the world we know, 7 billion people. Have they almost all been reached? We just heard how many? 2.6 billion have not been reached. But yet we have all the technology imaginable. One of the quotes I had from those little stats I was reading, that the radio, Christian radio, has now penetrated, so it says, 99% of the world. Now, I'm not so sure everybody can hear that 99% of the world, but you see, there is a job being done, but we're not finished yet, are we? We're not finished yet. Get ready to say amen for my last point. Oh, the kids are tired. They're hungry. They want out of here. All right, this is it for my last point. What have we talked about? How that early church from Acts 1:8, which were given that great commission, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the world, that early church did just that. And because of that, we have our Christianity today, because those early churches kept winning more people, establishing more churches, and we have this church today as a direct result of what happened way back here. In verse number 26, the Apostle Paul says, "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am what? I am pure." It's my last point. That's it. "I am pure from the blood of all men." Could that be said about us? Could that be said about this church? Are we pure from the blood of all men? That means we've given the gospel. Now, you may not be able to give it to everybody in Bucyrus, all 15,000 or whatever the population is, but you can make sure your church is getting out the gospel so the church and you can be pure from the blood of all mankind. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're glad for the study here in the book of Acts, how that early church took to heart the Great Commission. They slowed down a bit, and you allowed persecution to scatter them everywhere. In almost all of Asia, the entire known world almost had heard the gospel. Lord, help Calvary Baptist Church to think and to pray and to muse and to meditate on what this church's part is as far as reaching their Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and uttermost part of the world. For the uttermost part of the world, they're probably going to have to support missionaries to get that job done. But that's okay, because missions is the heart of the local church. Bless this invitation. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Pastor?